Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Health and Social Services Committee to order. Time is 1:33 p.m., February 22nd, 2016. With me today is Senator Stoltz, Allison Kelly, myself, Stedman. We have a quorum to conduct business. We have one item on the agenda today, Senate Bill 112, Adoption of Child in State Custody. Senate Bill, this bill is coming up under bills previously heard. Senate Bill 112, an act establishing procedures relating to a petition for adoption of a child in state custody, adding a definition of proxy for a formal petition, amending Rule 6A, Alaska Adoption Rules, and providing for an effective date. Senate Bill 112 was previously heard on the 25th of January, 2016. We have representation from the Director, Office of Children's Services, if she'll come forward as we prepare for this. We have a CS in front of us, and may we have a motion to adopt the CS, Senator Ellis?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
We have a motion to adopt version N as our working document. Do we have objection? And I will object for discussion. If we can have Ms. Lawton introduce herself for the record. And she also has some a company there. And then what we'll do is we'll go through the, I'd like you to go through the sectional. And then I'll deal with the formal adoption of the CS, and then we'll come back for some further discussion.
Thank you. Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Christy Lawton. I'm the director for the Office of Children's Services, and I have a colleague from Department of Law here.
Good afternoon. I always have to pull this close. For the record, my name is Katie Librand with the Department of Law.
So today I'll be walking you through the committee substitute for this bill that was drafted after a number of different conversations with some of our key stakeholders, including the Alaska court system, who shared some concerns and provided some suggestions for how to better improve the bill. We also have noted that there are additional kind of some minor details that we still need to be working out, but us in the court system don't see any reason why we won't be able to do that, so this will successfully move forward. Just a brief foundation from what you heard a few weeks ago. Last year, you may recall a controversial case.
If we can stop there, can we go through the sectional first and then adopt the CS, and then we'll talk about the CS?
Absolutely. So starting with the detailed sectional, page 1, lines 6 through 10, just adds a new section outlining the legislative intent for this bill. Section 2. And section two adds a clarification for venue for guardianship proceedings. This bill is going to have guardianship and adoption proceedings moved to the China court instead of the probate court.
And can you define, we're not moving it to China. Can you define what that
is? Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The child need of aid proceedings, which is where all of the cases where children are in state's custody are heard, and probate court traditionally is where guardianship and adoption cases have been heard.
Thank you.
Section 3 adds a new subsection, which basically just states that a petitioner who's seeking the appointment as the guardian of a minor in state custody, so they're filing for guardianship, it gives guidance to them of where they must file their petition, which means it has to be now filed if this bill comes into effect in the child need of aid proceedings as opposed to anywhere else in probate court. Section 4 just mirrors what I just said regarding guardianships. It's just clarifying venue for adoption proceedings that will now be in the child in need of aid proceeding as opposed to probate court. Section 5 is similar to what I just stated as well, which gives guidance to the individual petitioners seeking to adopt a child, that guides them that they must file their petition for adoption in the court where the child in need of aid proceedings are pending. Section 6 allows those adoption petitions to be held in abeyance until the department changes the permanency goal from reunification to adoption or legal guardianship. So someone won't be able to potentially file for adoption on day 3 when we just have started a case and we're working reunification. They would put that petition on hold until we get to a point at which we have determined that reunification is no longer a viable option. Section 7 adds a new subsection stating that in a hearing to review the permanent plan, the court shall make written findings related to whether the person who filed the petition or proxy is entitled to a placement preference. So this just really has the court reviewing the petitioner to ensure that that person is entitled and that they're following the petitioner proxy as indicated. And it also says that that hearing will be held within 30 days of application by the department. Section 8 is kind of the media section. This is where we're establishing that the adoption and legal guardianship proceedings for a child in state custody, which is considered a child in need of aid case, is initiated within the child in need of aid proceedings. Proceedings to adopt a child in state custody are initiated by a petition, typically under 2523080, or a proxy for formal petition. This definition further defines proxy for formal petition, which means a request by an extended family member or a family friend interested in immediate and permanent placement and adoption or legal guardianship of an Indian child at any court hearing in a child in need of aid proceeding. Proxy for formal petition may be conveyed to the department by telephone, mail, fax, electronic mail, or in person. This then further clarifies for the department that we have not more than 60 days after that petition or proxy is filed to submit a permanent plan to the court, basically outlining what is our intent with the person that has stepped forward. The court then must hold a court hearing to review that plan no more than 90 days after the filing of that original petition or proxy. Petitions for adoption or legal guardianship filed prior to the permanency goal being changed to adoption or guardianship by the court are then held in abeyance until the permanency goal is officially changed. This further clarifies that a person who files a petition or a proxy does not automatically become a party to the child in need of aid proceedings and may only participate in proceedings under this chapter that concern the person's petition or proxy. So it helps to preserve some confidentiality of the participants in both cases. A parent who has relinquished parental rights or whose parental rights have been terminated are not a part of the adoption or guardianship proceeding. And this further allows the department regulatory authority to implement this section. Section 9 goes on to broaden the scope of individuals that would be entitled to a placement review if denied placement. Specifically, it would now allow for extended family members as defined under the Indian Child Welfare Act, other tribal members and other Indian people to access a placement review in the case of a denial or contested placement issue. And this is a review that happens under the court jurisdiction whereby evidence is put on that if someone is not in support of what the department's plan is for placement or permanency, they can come forth and be heard, and a judge can make a decision of whether or not our decision was the correct one or whether or not there's a better choice to be made. Section 10 clarifies the definition of the term family friend, and in the case of an Indian child, is consistent with the definitions contained in 25 U.S.C. 1903. Section 11, with a new paragraph which defines family friend, basically now includes a member of the Indian child's tribe. Again, Section 12 is sort of parroting what Section 11 just said, just that we're adding family friend and specifying that that now is defined as someone that can be a member of the child's Indian tribe. Sections 13 through 16 are all specific to direct court rule amendment changes that are needed to effectuate these changes. Section 17 adds uncodified law that is enacted by Sections 2 and 8 and Sections 13 to 16 of this Act that apply to proceedings for adoption or legal guardianship of a child in state custody. Section 18 just further provides for the authority to adopt these regulations to implement this Act. And then Section 20, we did add the effective date and extended that out to January 1st of 2017 to give more time for all of these things to be worked out in time to implement.
Okay. That's it?
Do you want to clarify that?
Okay. go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of the CS. We have further objections for the adoption of the CS. Hearing none, we have version N in front of the committee. If you could give us a rundown of the bill, please, and then we'll lob off to the Department of Law. She can be next, and then we have another testifier to come forward.
So just as foundation for how we came to be where we are today, last year there was a controversial case that was heard by the Alaska Supreme Court called Tununuk. It involved a tribal child enrolled with the native village of Tununuk, the child's grandmother, and her non-native, non-relative foster family. The case was making its way through the Supreme Court here in Alaska at the same time a now notorious case out of South Carolina was also making its way through the U.S. Supreme Court. That case was referred to in the media as the baby girl Veronica case. The U.S. Supreme Court's ruling that directly, this was a U.S. Supreme Court ruling that directly impacted then the ruling of the Alaska Supreme Court. Following that ruling that ended with the adoption of the Tununuk child to her foster family versus her grandmother, it spawned the issuance of emergency regulations and the need for statutory changes. Under current law, a person seeking to adopt any child in the custody of the department must file a formal petition for adoption. The adoption hearing would then be heard in a probate proceeding, which is separate from the child in need of aid proceedings. This creates challenges to the adoption process because a child in need of aid is a unique case. This bill seeks to align the adoption of, would align adoption of child in need of aid under AS 4710 and allow for the department to develop alternatives to the formal adoption of petition for Indian children that are currently required under AS 2523080. This bill would improve department compliance with the Indian Child Welfare Act and support tribal partnerships and efforts. Overall, we believe that the conjoining of the adoption and guardianship proceedings into the China proceedings really is going to streamline things and providing better access for family members and the tribe's Indian members of the child's Indian tribe. And it will also decrease some of the financial burden potentially for some of our adoption petitioners or guardianship petitioners who end up in a probate proceeding with limited funds to have counsel to represent them. And then there's a contest over placement, for example. If we have all these things in the China proceeding, those decisions will be litigated as a part of that, which would be costs really that would be burdensome to the state, less so to the individual petitioner because those are decisions we're already contemplating as a part of the China proceeding.
Okay, if we can have Ms. Lyburn from the Department of Law.
I don't have any testimony to provide the committee, but would be happy to answer any questions the committee has at this point or later on in the hearing.
Okay. Senator Kelly, yeah.
Can we bring up Nancy Mead from the court?
Well, she's next. Yep. And we're seeing no other questions. We'll make some room here, and we have Ms. Mead. She can come forward. And I think you have something to, you want to talk a little bit about this bill, and then Senator Kelly might have a question or others might have questions.
Yes, thank you. And for the record, my name is Nancy Mead, General Counsel for the Alaska Court System. I did want to ensure that the record was clear that we have a few issues that we need to work out with Ms. Lawton and others to make sure that the court system can implement the bill. It does make some changes to our procedures in the different kinds of cases, both child and native aid cases and guardianship cases and adoption cases. And we've spoken with them a couple of times about some concerns, and some of the changes in the bill do reflect those conversations, which I'm very grateful for. But we continue to have some questions about exactly how this is to be implemented for us internally and what the intent is, and we just want to make sure we can do it if this becomes law. So I just wanted to clarify that there are still a few things we'd like to work on.
This is early in the process. This is the first committee referral.
Right.
And I think there's a companion bill on the other side, so it's got a long ways to go, very short time. So that's duly noted that there'll probably be a few things to smooth out along the way, and there might be other issues that surface in upcoming committee meetings also to be worked on.
Thank you.
Anyone have any questions for Senator Kelly?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me make sure I have the whole, I'm trying to get the concept of the bill. It's a little complicated, and I'm not sure exactly what problem we were trying to fix. So there was a child that was placed with a family, a foster care family, and then that family adopted the child. The child, none of the close family members came forward to adopt the child, so the adoption went through. Is that it, kind of in a nutshell?
That is in a nutshell, correct, through the chair.
So were there any problems with the adopting family?
If you're talking about the Tunanac decision, yeah. There were not problems with the adoptive family, and the Department of Law can correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that the relative of the Indian child who would have preference did not come forward and was not brought forward by the department, and therefore the adoption went through with a non-native family, and the issue was whether that native relative should have filed a petition or could have filed a petition or should have somehow come to the attention of the court, and that didn't happen in that case, and the court said, well, the U.S. Supreme Court, and then days later the Alaska Supreme Court, bound by that precedent, said that there has to be something filed by the native family if they want to adopt, to let everybody know that they're interested. There has to be a petition, and this led to this bill, because the department, this bill would allow a proxy for a petition to be filed, and
so the proxy is, who's the proxy?
As I read the bill, it would be something short of a petition. So a petition, as we can think of, would be a form that you fill out. And the court has created a form, a couple-page form that anyone can file in order to adopt and fill out. But this bill would allow a proxy for that piece of paper to be filed in the child in need of aid case. And the proxy could be, the bill provides an oral statement by somebody in lieu of the piece of paper. And as I understand it, and again, the department can correct me, this would enable people with perhaps limited English proficiency or limited knowledge of how the state court system works to express the fact that they want to adopt a native child, you know, a native relative, but something short of a piece of paper. They can make a request orally or make a phone call or somehow make their wishes known. And that would be something then that the court would be acting on if this were according to this bill.
When you describe the case itself, I'm trying to find out where it went wrong. So the person that was trying to adopt the child that was not granted the right to adopt the child never came forward.
My understanding is that person, until after the adoption occurred with the a person who didn't have native priority, they weren't known to the court, so they hadn't filed anything to say I want to be involved in this adoption. So it was the court said, the Supreme Court decision says you've got to file something to let us know. We want everyone to work together to make it easy for this person with priority to file something, and I think that led to the bill, and she's going to probably correct me, some easier way to let the native person with preference inform the court that they're interested.
You have another follow-up before we go to the department?
Yeah. So did this person have limited language proficiency, to your knowledge?
I don't know the answer to that question. I'm sorry, through the chair.
Yeah. Let's go to the Ms. Lawton, and maybe she can help us with a little bit of this.
Mr. Chairman.
And we're just saying we're not going to delve in deeply into this one case. We're going to keep it on the bill specific, but go ahead.
Through the chair, Senator Kelly. So my understanding is that in the case of Tunanac, that was in the process of being litigated, where
They had the grandmother and the foster parents both wanting to adopt. The grandmother had previously, is my understanding, orally informed the court, the department, of her intention. But they were in the process of trying to decide who should seek, who should get the child permanently. When the U.S. Supreme Court ruling came out on baby Veronica, it stated that in order for someone to be considered for adoption, they had to file a formal petition to adopt. So that then, days later in Tanunik, as they were talking about this, this grandmother had expressed in court several times, her orally, her intention, desire to adopt. But because this foster family had actually filed a formal petition to adopt at some point along that continuum, they ruled on behalf of the non-Native family members, the foster families, because of the U.S. Supreme Court ruling. So by creating a process for proxy, we're just trying to reduce and eliminate some barriers such that the pathway is a little bit easier, so people that don't have the means, the wherewithal, the access to the courts can speak up and state their intentions and have that preserved for the record. And then ultimately, they will have to eventually file a petition, because in order to hold that petition in abeyance and for the process to work, that will have to happen. But it doesn't have to be at the onset in terms of then having competing petitions for adoption.
One last question.
Yeah, go ahead.
And so the oral, the ability to approach the court without paper, I understand, but the proxy also says that the tribe can do this?
Through the chair, Senator Sedman, yes. So on behalf of the family member or a member of the Indian Child's tribe, they also have the right to exercise the use of a proxy.
So it goes way beyond just trying to help the grandma who wants to go to the court and say, I want my grandbaby.
Correct.
Yeah, I would.
It looks at the Indian Child Welfare Act preferences for adoption and guardianships, which also then includes non-native relatives to that Indian child also have access to this process as well.
I said that would be my last question.
Okay. Senator Stoltz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It sounds like the bill is moving along, but something's really topsy-turvy here. We have the court system. I'm complimenting them all too often recently. Is looking out for the best interests of the child in their cases, and the OCS is looking out for the political considerations, and I'll just leave it at that, and I'm just kind of confused, and I'll just express that in my recommendations.
Okay. Do you have any other questions, concerns on the bill? As you want to?
I would just like to add one thing. We are neutral on the bill, and if this becomes law, we'll figure out a way to implement it, but I just want to clarify that we're trying to make it work, and there are a few concerns about non-native children covered by the bill and the scope, but hopefully we'll just keep talking those through.
Yep. It's got a long ways to go.
Mr. Chairman, can I just ask a quick question about the position?
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Mead, is your neutrality, is that because it's an active case? You don't want you routinely not endorse or oppose a bill that you might be rolling on. Is it a soft neutrality? I guess I'm trying to.
through the chair, Senator Stoltz, the case has been resolved by the Alaska Supreme Court. So, to my knowledge, there is not a live case or controversy, and this is the neutrality that the court system expresses in nearly all bills.
I'm not sure the controversy was absolved. Maybe the case. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. We've previously had our public hearing on this issue. Do we have any other questions from the committee members? We have a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move the CS for Senate Bill 112, version 29, GS1262/November from this committee to the next with individual recommendations and any attached fiscal notes.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee to the next committee, a referral with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Do we have objection? Hearing none, we'll move this bill to the next committee of referral. We will have a meeting on Wednesday. We have first hearing on two bills. I know everybody's schedule is busy. If we could at least gather up enough to have a quorum so I can get started. And we can then proceed on the schedules, and I'll work with the committee members. With that, thank everybody for coming today. We are adjourned at 1:55, 1:56 p.m. Thank you.